Collection Spurscast, episode 510. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of Spurscast. Joining me for this episode is Project Spurs' founder, Michael DeLeon. Mike, how you doing, man? Just right now, this in the off season with basically no basketball, but a lot of football happening and baseball and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Basketball's been dead, but luckily there's football, and I've been I actually got into fantasy football this year, so that's kind of killing the boredom with the NBA doldrums right now, I guess.
Yeah, see, you and I were talking about this. I kind of just playing video games to kind of keep me entertained until basketball actually starts. So there's different ways, of taking up this time. And obviously, there hasn't been any like really NBA news or Spurs news really. But there is some minor news out there. So we're going to go ahead and get into three main topics today. But unfortunately, Mike, we do have to start this episode off on a somber note. Earlier this week on Tuesday, September 11th, it was announced that former Spurs assistant coach Don Newman passed away at the age of 60 due to a battle with cancer. For Spurs fans that have been following the team for a number of years, if you remember back from the 2004 to 2012 season, Coach Newman was with the Spurs organization as an assistant coach during that time frame. And he was actually part of the 2005 NBA championship when they beat the Detroit Pistons, and then the 2007 championship when they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been show. If you go back, like for me, the memories I have of him is going back and watching those two championship DVDs, and you see him on the sideline there with Pop, with all the players, with Timmy, with Tony, with Manu. He began his NBA career in 1999 with the Milwaukee Bucks, and it ended with the Wizards from 2012 to 2016. So for me in person, I never actually got to interact with him because my first season covering the team, going to the games and stuff, it was the 2012 season. So it was right on that first year when he just left Washington. So I never actually got to talk to him face to face and things like that. But Mike, over the years, what did you think of Coach Newman?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that obviously, and you can see that kind of by the stuff that we've read today, just on social media and stuff, that he was definitely well-liked. And, I always remember him as a guy that would restrain Pop. And, obviously they had to have a pretty close relationship for him to be able to do that. But, yeah, I mean, everyone has said nothing but good things about him. And I was kind of surprised to see him leave. But, yeah, it's just definitely sad that I guess anytime anyone in the kind of Spurs family, when that happens, it's just sad to see. But I didn't really have any interaction myself, but heard nothing but good things from him.
Yeah, that's actually one of the images that comes to mind, what you just said right there, which is when Pop would get technicals, and you would see Coach Newman there holding him back, especially with Pop, really angry during those moments. Let's go ahead and get into the show, though, Mike. We're going to go through some three main topics here on the agenda. The first one, we're going to discuss the Spurs signing second-round pick Chimezie Metu to a full guaranteed contract. Then about one of the camp invites that they might invite to camp by Josh Huestis and some potential invites as well. And then lastly, a basketball scheme type of question about the Spurs offense this season. So let's go to begin with Chimezie Metu. He was signed last week reportedly for a three-year deal. He's a 6'11 power forward / center, 49th pick in the second round. He played in five summer league games with the Spurs this past summer, so you got to watch him in Utah and Vegas. He scored 11.4 points per game, 7.6 rebounds, and collected 1.4 assists in 21 minutes. He did get hurt during that time frame. And something of note regarding his signing is he's the first second-round pick since DeJuan Blair where he's the type of player where he just got drafted and the Spurs actually signed him that summer. I know Nando DiColo was also a second-round pick who got signed, but DiColo had been drafted his draft rights a few years before that. What did you think about the Spurs giving Chimezie Metu a full guaranteed roster spot this coming season?
It's kind of mixed because, I mean, I'm a fan of his game from what I saw in summer league, and I was kind of like he was one of the guys I thought should make the camp and hopefully make it to a two-way, but that's where I thought it would go. I thought he'd try to earn a two-way contract, but they almost see something like in him, because for them to sign him outright like that after summer league, I mean, Gary Neal is probably the last person I remember them doing that with. Maybe Forbes, but so that surprised me a little bit. But I mean, he did show in that little amount of time, and he didn't play a whole ton of minutes, and he was able to put up those kind of numbers in summer league. And they need some help up front. They need somebody that's a little more athletic and, I guess, a little more nimble, because Powell's not that type of guy. They need somebody to maybe balance that off a little bit more. So I liked it. I just, like I said, it just kind of surprised me right away when I saw that they actually you know, offered him a contract before Kaepernick started.
Yeah, for me, you know, from what I saw in Summer League, for me, I have this weird, like, these two terms come to mind when I think of Mathieu from his game that I saw in Summer League. I see one part raw, but then another part pretty polished. Like, he kind of knew what he was doing out there. He had good form on his outside jumper. You could tell he has athleticism. But then, of course, he's still raw because he's a young, you know, he's a young player. He's only a rookie getting his first NBA experience. So I kind of feel like the route he's going to go down this coming season is probably spending a lot of time in the G League and with the Austin Spurs. But, you know, if somebody gets hurt or there's a trade that happens or something like that in the front court, then I could definitely see him getting some minutes immediately and then Pop kind of using him off the bench. So you can tell that they really have an investment in him. You know, he's a young player, has a lot of athleticism and, you know, a lot of potential going forward. So the Spurs definitely saw that and they gave him a guaranteed contract and it's reportedly up to 3 years. So now with the Mathieu on board, the Spurs do have 14 guaranteed contracts, you know, after Manu Ginobili retired. And that 15th spot right now is partially guaranteed over to Quincy Pondexter, who John Diaz and I had discussed 2 weeks ago on the last Spurs cast. Let's go ahead and move into our next topic, Mike, and that's now the training camp invites. The first player who's reportedly going to get invited is Josh Huestis. He was drafted back in 2014, late first-round draft pick. He's been in OKC with the Thunder his whole career, early career. He's 6'7", a wing player. You know, last year his numbers, he played 67 games with the Thunder. He scored 2.3 points, 2.3 rebounds, and 14.2 minutes. So just some of his kind of profile on him. He's a low usage player, means he doesn't need the ball that much. He's not a very efficient shooter. He only made 30% of his threes last year. He relies on others to create his shots for him. He was in the 62nd percentile scoring on his own, which means he can kind of make his own shot. 60% of his shots were from three last year and 33% were at the rim. So he's basically like a 3-and-D player, but just not an efficient shooter from three, but he does take threes. So he only shot 30% from the corners and 30% above the break. He doesn't draw any kind of shooting fouls. He had a pretty good block percentage on defense. Low, doesn't create turnovers on the other team in terms of steals. He does tend to foul a lot and he's a solid rebounder. And then he mainly played the three in OKC. So reportedly, Mike, Huestis is getting a training camp invite, and in that there's this clause called the Exhibit 10 clause. And what that means is that if he is waived during training camp or the preseason, the Spurs can actually make him a two-way player, convert that contract into that. And that's interesting because they have both two-way spots open right now. Do you think that's the most likely route that's going to happen with him here in a few weeks, that he's going to get, that he might get waived eventually and then possibly just get one of those two-way spots?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm sure he probably doesn't like it just because I think that maybe once the Thunder didn't pick up his option, he might get some interest in free agency. But because he was such a low usage player in Oklahoma City, he didn't really have much of a chance to put anything or, you know, show anything to anyone. And he played behind guys like, you know, Carmelo Anthony and Paul George. And so what I did see from him was that, you know, when he actually did get some consistent minutes and played in more games, his numbers dipped a little bit because before that he had only played like 5 games, I think, in his rookie year, and then 2 games before that where he actually looked pretty good in the limited amount of time he got. But last year, I mean, his numbers dropped quite a bit and his shooting was pretty low. So I don't see him, you know, obviously he'd have to take a spot from Pondexter at this point. So I think that two-way, where he's at in his career, I think that's probably the best bet because he still needs some time. And him getting some actual minutes in the G League, I think, would be beneficial for him. Just because I don't think he's benefited much. While he's in practice, he's been able to go up against guys like Melo and George, but he's not actually playing much. So that might be good for him to be in Austin, spend some time there. And if they need him, if they need, you know, a 3 or 4 type player, then they can bring him up for a game here or there.
I agree with you right there about that's kind of where the battle's at in terms of that 15th spot. It's kind of him and Pondexter. And right now I think that Pondexter just has the edge just in terms of if you look at the contract situation. They only gave Huestis an invite, whereas Pondexter, they gave him some partially guaranteed money. It means they think that he might actually make this roster for that 15th spot. So I think that's the battle you got to watch here in training camp as it starts in 10 days when this show it comes out. It starts September 24th, this training camp for the Spurs. So that's kind of the battle we're going to watch here in training camp is Pondexter versus Huestis, you know, who ends up, you know, I guess impressing on the team more, impressing Coach Pop. And you know, Huestis does have a good good defensive background, should I say. And that's something that Pop always wants to see, is you play defense on the floor and he'll give you some minutes. So that'll be something to watch in the preseason and training camp, is that battle there between Huestis and Pondexter for spot 15. If Huestis does join the training camp roster, and also Drew Eubanks, who is reportedly going to get a training camp invite as well, that would actually give the Spurs 17 players on contract, for training camp, meaning that they can add 3 more players for camp. Two players, Mike, I want to discuss real quick are 2 unrestricted free agents, Josh McRoberts and Gerald Henderson. Both players, along with Huestis, were in a few photos about 2 weeks ago where there was this photographer who was taking pictures inside the Spurs on practice facility, and they put them on Instagram. And in those pictures, there's current Spurs like DeMar DeRozan, DeJounte Murray, Bryn Forbes, and then there's some past Spurs like Tim Duncan and Monta Ginobili. But also there's Josh McRoberts, Gerald Henderson, and Josh Huestis. So there's been no actual word if McRoberts and Henderson are going to get an invite to camp. We don't know if they were just there working out, or if they might actually be getting an invite. Maybe they're getting ready to try to compete for a roster spot with the Spurs. Just some quick background on them. McRoberts, he's 31 years old. He only played in 2 games with the Mavs last year. Then he was waived. He's basically been injured for like the last 4 or 5 years, have really hampered his career. Gerald Henderson, he's 6'5", shooting guard, 30 years old. He didn't play in the NBA last season because he wanted to have hip surgery, or he had a hip injury that was bothering him. So he kind of took time away from basketball to get that injury healed. And now he says that he's ready to play. He's healthy 100%. When he did last play back with Philly in 2016-17, he scored 9.2 points and was a pretty good 3-point shooter, 35.3% from 3. So what do you think about those two guys? Do you think that those pictures might show that they might get invites, or do you think they were just there like working out, trying to get back in shape kind of thing?
It's kind of hard to tell, because sometimes you've seen in the past where like certain players have had other NBA players come over, but it seemed like it was mostly Spurs players. And then, you know, some of the guys that mentioned that would end up getting training camp invites. So I think we could end up seeing them in training camp, just because, I mean, Henderson, there hasn't been a ton of interest in him. Same thing with Mike Roberts. And I feel like it's going to be one of those, like, kicking the tires things on both of those guys to see what they've got left. Because, I mean, Mike Roberts seemed at one point, like, you know, he had some potential there. I think L.A. and maybe in Charlotte were his best years. And, you know, since then, he hasn't done a lot. Henderson's actually had a pretty nice career for himself. And so I think they want to see after, you know, having his surgery or whatever, and, you know, how has that affected him? And would he be worth maybe giving a spot? The only thing about that is, once again, it would have to be, he'd have to basically still Quincy Pondexter's role, because I can't see Gerald Henderson. I don't even think he could get like a 2-way at this point. As many years as he has, I think he's what, got like 8 years.
Yeah. I think you can only have you can't have more than 3 years in the league, and both of those players definitely have more than 3. So yeah, you're right that he can't even compete for a 2-way. I think that I agree with you, where again he'd be falling in line there with trying to compete with Pondexter for that 15th spot. And if they were to add both players to the training camp roster, then that would put the roster at 19. You know, if that was the case, which means they would have 1 more player to add to the roster before training camp starts, which is again on September 24th. Okay, Mike, our last topic, let's go ahead and discuss kind of like a basketball strategy scheme type of question, basically. Ben Falk from cleaningtheglass.com wrote a pretty good article a few weeks ago, and back on August 23rd. It was called 2017-18 Answers, Evolution of the Big Man. And so basically what this article was about was that last season, before the season began, Ben had, he thought that the Spurs would take way more threes their big men, Pau Gasol specifically, and LaMarcus Aldridge, compared to the year before. Well, that didn't end up happening because, again, we all thought that would happen, but it was because, you know, what he cites is that mainly without Kawhi Leonard, a guy who can kind of create his own shot, draw double teams from the perimeter, Gasol and Aldridge kind of had to have the ball in their hands more, and they couldn't, stretch out the offense that much more and take those threes. So, like, the numbers show this as well. In the year that Kawhi was healthy, 16-17, Aldridge took 5% of his shots for threes. Only last year, he only took 6%, so he just made a 1% increase. Gasol, in 16-17, 15% of his shots were threes, and only 17% last season. So we didn't quite see that dramatic increase in 3-point attempts from those two players. And the Spurs as a whole, as a team, their frequency was really bad last year from three, and also their accuracy. But here's my question to you, Mike, is Now that they have DeMar DeRozan, a guy who can score on his own, he, you know, 32% of his shots were only assisted on, which puts him in the 96th percentile according to cleaningglass.com, which means basically he's an elite player at creating for himself and getting to scoring on his own. And also, DeRozan, draws a lot of fouls on his own. Shooting fouls, 14.9% of his shots were shooting foul attempts. So that's in the 94th percentile. Do you think that having DeRozan, a guy who can create on his own, can draw some double teams, is gonna allow Gasol and Aldridge to kind of stretch out a little bit more this coming season? Or do you think we're going to kind of see some of them mainly taking mid-range jumpers like the last few years?
I definitely think we'll see more. I think especially from Aldridge, because Aldridge has to be kind of that guy that last year that, you know, just... had the ball quite a bit in his hands, and he couldn't be one that was moving around a lot, because when they had Kawhi, I mean, obviously that takes some of the attention away, and that can, you know, Kawhi, if he can get going inside, and that gives Aldridge space to move out to the perimeter. The other thing about the whole DeRozan thing is, one of the good things about him is that he's able to create on his own, but he also doesn't force a lot, and he's a pretty good passer. I mean, his numbers are pretty good. I think Nathan, one of our new writers, looked at that recently. And because of that, I have a feeling that we'll see, especially Aldridge, shooting a lot more threes, and he'll have the opportunity to do that more. It's going to be a lot less pressure, I think, on him than it was last year. But, I mean, the whole three-point thing, I mean, I think that not having Kawhi changed a lot, I mean, including the amount of threes they made. I mean, we saw that in the playoffs. They didn't have that player that took, you know, that focus away and gave a lot of those guys open shots. And so, Gasol, I'm not sure, because last year I noticed that it didn't seem like he shot nearly as much as he had the year before. But, you know, maybe with somebody like that in there, I mean, he'll feel comfortable enough to do that again.
Yeah, that reminded me of what I saw, too. The data didn't support what my eyes saw last year. For some reason, I kind of felt that Powell took less threes than the year before with Kawhi there. And that wasn't what the data said. It says that he took 17% of his shots were threes last year, and the year before that only 15%. That kind of threw me off a little bit. But anyway, I agree with you. I think that we're going to see one of those, that Gasol from the year before, where he took way more threes that year that Kawhi was healthy. Because I think that, again, DeRozan's a guy who can kind of create on his own. You mentioned he's a really good passer as well. For Aldridge, the thing I'm interested to see is on that, something that Ben Falk noted in that piece was that when Aldridge would set his pick-and-pop jumper up top, he would kind of just float out to that 20-feet range, where it's his mid-range jumper. And he would only go roll up into the three-point area when it was like 10 seconds of the shot clock left. So basically, if he knew that the shot clock was dying down, that was basically the last attempt he would think about in terms of taking three. So I wonder if he's going to be more proactive in terms of, you know, setting that pick-and-pop and then immediately, you know, popping out to the three-point line rather than his comfortable 20-foot range, now that if DeRozan's the guy who's a pick-and-roll ball handler. So that'll be kind of something to watch, is the Spurs' three-point shooting. Again, they were not very good last year, 26th in frequency, and then accuracy 26th. The year before that, they were first in accuracy. So that's something to watch, especially with the player makeup that they've added, like a Marco Bellinelli. They still have Bryn Forbes. They got Davis Bertans back, but then also they added a guy who's not a three-point shooter like DeRozan, and then you still have DeJounte Murray out there and some other players. So it'll be interesting to watch. Thanks again, Mike, for joining me for the SpursCast, episode 510. SpursCast listeners, If you're on Twitter, please follow us at Project Spurs, at @ATLeague_NBA, at the SpursCast, and at Project Spurs Network. Visit us on ProjectSpurs.com, AnalyzingTheLeague.com, and ProjectSpurs.net. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, please leave us a rating and review. Thank you. Have a great day.